It's podcast time on XFM. The breakfast show best bits are in. Lots of chat and interviews and less bits with Matt Dyson. Breakfast XFM. It's Danny. With Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello and welcome to podcast number 61 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Man, lots of stuff on the important podcast for you this week. Australian comedian Jim Jefferies swings by. You eat the bowl with it will become something you're very familiar with in terms of phraseology. What you done this time? We'll talk about quiz face. We'll hear from this guy. Hello. Well, that's not good. I was doing big voices, and I was going to go, hey, on this and this and this. You can't just go, hello.
I don't know what to say.
Well, just introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Matt. Welcome.
What are your interests?
Welcome. We have cleared out all those glitches that are causing some people problems downloading this podcast.
Well, we haven't cleared them all out.
Haven't we?
No.
Okay,
about six people are able to do it now.
Forget that. Delete that.
What you've done is you've just brought attention to the fact that some people were having technical issues with the podcast.
Now it's a lot of people.
You're going to leave this in, but you should let
it makes us look shoddy and like some kind of student-run radio station.
Yeah. We've got a very stable new app, though, which you should use. XFM's new app. Should we start again?
Just have a second.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Just going through the papers for you. Finding out the important stories. Important stories for you, showbiz-wise. Was Jesus married to Mary Magdalene? I'm not sure if that's showbiz. It's a great question, though.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Well, we won't find out on this programme. It's very unlikely that this
will
be
the programme. Leave it to the right stuff.
Hey, so what's going on with you two? What's going on with you two? You mentioned something to do with Scotch eggs.
Not much.
You mentioned something to do with Scotch eggs about 10 seconds before Kings of Leon finished.
Well, I'm very excited about this. I don't think me and Matt Dyson spend enough time together. That's my main concern here. So what we've decided to do, we're not going to go to the pub.
No.
Or, you know, or go and watch a film.
No, you guys should be in a windowless, airless room.
Yeah.
That's just to get to know each other a bit.
Yeah.
So where are you going, Scotch egg wise?
Well, on Tuesday, we're going to the Scotch Egg Challenge 2012.
Okay. Can't stop you there. Why? Obviously, this is in association with something. We don't do brand names and stuff.
Not really.
I've heard a pub. What do you mean, not really?
It's just that
it's definitely an idea.
This is
there are lots of different people coming at this.
This is one of your scams, guys.
They're all fans of the Scotch Egg.
What are you getting out of this for free?
Just a few Scotch eggs.
Really?
That's it. We'll taste the Scotch eggs and we'll all
there
enjoy
must be. There's more to this than that.
There
can't be.
No, it's true.
What are you getting? Why are you going to a Scotch egg challenge?
Because it sounds brilliant.
Who's it in association with?
We are just big fans of the Scotch egg. I mean, I think it's an incredible invention.
By highlighting the association, you're now backing away from the association.
No,
there are a couple of people involved. I don't want to mention their names, but they're all involved. They're all getting together.
Why can't you mention their names?
Why can't you mention their names?
This is weird. Hang on. You're both going to a Scotch egg challenge together, right, on Tuesday. You won't say what it's for, what it's about, or who else is going.
Yeah, it's a good point. I don't really know why they're doing it, just so we can crown the best Scotch egg in the UK, which is, you know.
Who else is going?
The Scotch egg street food legend Egg Boss is going.
What?
What do you mean, who?
Who's that?
I don't know.
The Bruce Springsteen of the Scotch egg world.
Yeah.
What makes him the boss?
I don't know. I can't wait to meet him or her. Who knows?
You guys know nothing about this. You
A couple of celebrity chefs are there. John Turode was invited the other day. I think he's hopefully.
Heston's going.
Was invited or is going?
Was invited.
Heston's a confirmed contender.
So he's going to be you two versus Heston Blumenthal.
Well, that's an idea.
Eating Scotch eggs.
We've not actually been invited to take part in the competition, but maybe we could actually offer to make our own Scotch egg.
Wow.
And then actually enter the competition legitimately.
In a bread bowl.
I'll tell you now, you're definitely not going to do that, are you? You're just going to go along.
They're very hard to make.
So all you know about it is that you're going to eat some Scotch eggs and Heston Blumenthal is going to be there.
And the Egg Boss.
The Egg Boss.
That was enough for me.
And John Turode's been invited, but has not confirmed. So it could just be you and Heston in a room eating Scotch eggs.
I hope so. That's the dream.
The XFM team eating Scotch eggs. Why can't you mention? I don't understand why you can't.
Do you want to come? Do you want to come?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Hashtag Scotch Egg Challenge. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, right. Okay. And where is this taking place?
It's apparently at the Ship in Wandsworth, which I've never been there before. But
I don't understand what anyone's getting out of this.
pub. It's a nice pub.
Is it? I don't understand what you're getting out of this. Just there's loads of different Scotch eggs. I mean, there's not just like your normal pork and egg combo.
So what?
There are like different meats.
So what?
Quails, eggs.
So what?
It sounds exciting. 20 plus competitors take to the kitchens in a cook-off and blind tasting to find the nation's best Scotch egg. What's not to love about that?
All of it. It sounds like the worst afternoon out ever. You're going to sit in a pub in Wandsworth and eat Scotch eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you two are doing.
It sounds good to me.
You're fools to yourselves.
XFM. We are XFM.
Larry the Downing Street cat has been sacked as number 10's chief mouse catcher after just relaxing too much. Just sort of sitting there. And apparently the breaking point for Prime Minister David Cameron, I love that there was a breaking point, came on Thursday when the Prime Minister walked in and found Larry asleep on his chair in the number 10 study as a mouse ran across the room.
Oh,
oh, oh, no. Bone idle, that cat. Oh, Larry. So Larry the Downing Street cat is ironically in the doghouse this morning. What's he done this time? Why are you in the doghouse, right? You're probably pleased to be, you know, on your way to school or work or something just to get out of whatever it was you did. So, Matt, this weekend, what have you done this time?
Oh, well, my better half has recently started baking bread.
Long-suffering.
Baking bread she does. Very tasty loaves. Even TV baker Paul Hollywood would have to admit they're pretty darn splendid.
That's great.
Anyway, on Friday afternoon, she left a freshly baked loaf on the side in the kitchen to cool.
Oh. Old Muggins here, he saw it. No. Oh, I better not have a slice. Oh, I shouldn't. Oh. She wants it to cool. I shouldn't take a slice, should I? And lavish butter upon it. I only went and did it.
Oh, cut off a quick slice, ruining the freshly baked loaf.
The words happy and not very spring to mind. Dave, why are you in the doghouse?
Oh, you know me.
Yeah. What have you done this time?
Trying to be helpful. I only went and machine washed one of the little lady's silk dresses. Oh. She was not best pleased, I can tell you.
Oh, dear. You're
in the doghouse.
Dog, you know me.
What have you done this time?
Well, Muggins here only went and bought me and her indoors a dodgy chicken sandwich from a well-known high street retailer, didn't he? For our 3.5 hour drive into the countryside on Friday afternoon, which immediately brought about a small bout of food poisoning in the car.
Disaster!
Oh, Muggins here to steer the vehicle while huffing and puffing to control the onset of severe abdominal cramps. All on the M4 and with all the windows open and the aircon on full blast, like a man giving birth in the driver's seat of a moving vehicle. Her indoors was not best pleased at the thought of a weekend in the West Country spoiled by an errant chicken-based bug in a bap.
Oh.
In the doghouse. Tell you what as well. The old ball and chain was not best pleased, especially when we passed a pub near the village of Niblet called the Battle Axe, and I glanced at her knowingly.
We are XFM.
I went to a wedding.
Oh.
It's a bit of a showbiz wedding.
Oh, yeah, the big showbiz wedding of the year, no less.
Ordinarily, I would do my showbiz update later. I could just do it about the wedding.
You should do. You must have had a lot of spotteds.
There were many spotteds. Yeah. I mean, I'll talk you through one or two. I won't go into great detail about the whole event. I've got a new best friend.
Mm-hmm.
New best friend. Who do you see me being new best friend to? Who do you think I talk to a lot on Saturday night for about very in-depth things for a long time? Who do you see me with?
I'd love it to be Sue Pollard, but I don't think she would have been there.
I don't think she was there. No, I didn't see her.
No.
No, it was Jordan from Rizzle Kicks.
No way. Yeah. I was about to say Phaser from Endos. And that's the same ballpark.
Yeah, it's the same ballpark.
Wow.
But you know, I fall down much more heavily on old school hip hop with,
yes,
with a new sound.
Yeah.
So me and Jordan from Rizzle Kicks talked great length for a very long time. next to a fire. At one point, I found myself in a toilet with One Direction.
Whole
of One Direction.
Oh, wow. Do they have to go to the toilet together?
They were all just hanging out in the toilet.
How
bizarre. So we, walked in. I think they were just washing their hands and going back upstairs or whatever. Nice lads. But with Rizzle Kicks and One Direction, I know what Dave Berry's life must be like now. Kind of Rizzle Kicks, One Direction, all that kind of stuff. So we were hanging out. Harry said nice. Who's the guy who, you'd know him if you, he used to, he used to present the Radio 1 breakfast show. You would know him. You'd definitely know him if you saw him. He's been quiet lately.
No,
Moyles.
No. Oh yeah, yeah.
Saw that guy. He was there. You would know. You're struggling to. You'd know him if you saw him.
Look at Matt's face. He's drawing a blank.
You'd know him if you saw him. He was kicking around. So it's kind of one of those.
He was there as well, was he?
Everyone was there. It was an extraordinary, a marvellous, an incredible wedding. I won't say too much more about it because it was someone's wedding. But I'm going to bring Rizzle Kicks in.
Pretty good, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, and we're gonna hang out. We're gonna freestyle. No?
Well, you usually have to run these things by me.
And well, can I bring Rizzle Kicks in?
No.
We are
XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace. We're excited to have in the studio the one, the only, certainly Jim Jefferies.
Hey. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
That's what we do. We all applaud in that sort of
thing. I know. That's the radio thing that makes you feel that you're loved by three people applauding in a small room.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got work experience Steve over there. Your applause was very enthusiastic there, Steve. You've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, very, very excited.
It's nice. It
seems
it didn't sound it there, but no, but genuinely, genuinely he is. Hello, Jim. You've just told me this is an absolutely pointless interview for you to be doing. Why is that?
Oh, the show's already sold out.
It's all sold out, ladies and gents. There is no point in being here.
It sold out months ago. Like, I have no idea why they even booked this in to begin with. Like, if they were worried it was going to sell out. Yeah. I've actually stopped by in London just for this interview. I was in Wolverhampton last night. I'm in Bournemouth this evening. We stopped off just so I could talk to you today.
No, you didn't.
I did, but I like London, so it's all right.
Oh, I thought you'd say like me.
I have a story area that I got to get rid of that I don't know what's anything's in it.
Sorry, say that again in some way that might make sense to you.
I have a storage area that I've had in London. I've been living in America for 4 years, but I lived here for 10 years before that.
Yeah.
And then I moved to America and I thought, I didn't know if America would work out, so I kept a storage area of stuff.
What is a storage? Are you talking about one of those big yellow things or
a big
garage?
Yeah, yellow thing, like a little door that I'm paying for, a little closet that I pay for in London forevermore, right? And it cost me like £120 a month, so it's costing me over grand a year to
What's in this story?
This is the thing. It's been 4 years. I have no idea.
No idea what's in
I can tell you what's in there. Stuff I don't need.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been living very well for the last 4 years without this stuff.
Well, you have been living well. I mean, doing great guns in America. How did that begin? Because I remember talking to you and then suddenly you were hosting some kind of awards ceremony in America, kind of out of the blue.
I got asked to host the NME Awards in America,
that was it. And since then you've done so much over there as well. I mean, you've made a couple of pilots and you're making your own show as we speak.
I'm making my own TV show as we speak. I've got a sitcom happening called Legit.
Legit.
I think I told you this in Edinburgh, what my mother said.
Yeah. Tell me again, as if you haven't.
My mother rang me up, because I told my mother 2 weeks earlier that me and my girlfriend were having a baby. It was a bit out of the blue, but I just told her that my girlfriend's pregnant, you know. And my mum freaked out a bit, and then 2 weeks later I find out I got my own TV show, my own sitcom, and I rang up mum and said, Mum, they've given me my own sitcom, full season commitment, right? And she goes, what is your TV show called? And I said, my TV show is called Legit, Mum. And she goes, how can your show be called Legit when your child is illegitimate?
Boom. Oh, man.
Thanks, Mum.
What does your mum think, not only of your life, but of your career?
I've never asked for any money off my parents, so I don't think that they could ever, well, not that they've got me to give, but I mean, I think as long as I've, you know, look, I live in the Hollywood Hills and all that type of stuff, so they're impressed by that aspect of it, but does she watch my stand-up? No. She hates my stand-up.
Does she?
She'd like to see the TV show, but to be honest with you, there's a couple of characters there that are loosely based on my mother who are horrible fat women that hoard.
You know. Really?
Yeah, my mum's a terrible hoarder. She could be on the show.
You keep international storage facilities for hoarding. You caught that offer.
My mother, she has a porcelain doll thing going on.
Right.
She really wanted me, I'm the youngest of three boys, and she really wanted me to be a girl, like desperately wanted me to be a girl. And then when I came out, she just turned to dolls.
Yeah.
Weird. And she wanted him so desperately for me to be a girl that she didn't even get the scan to check or anything. She was just sure I was a girl. The room was painted pink. I grew up in a pink room.
This is why you are the way you are. Right.
She wouldn't hold me for the first week of my life because of the disappointment, right? What a way to enter the world, right? And then the second week of my life, she would not. No, for two more weeks after that, she wouldn't unwrap the blanket because she didn't want to see my genitalia.
We are XFM.
I think my microphone's buzzing.
Oh, yeah. That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Wow. If it doesn't work, Matt, you hit it.
He's fixed it live on air.
Just hit it.
You didn't even need to turn it off and on again.
I'm like a magic engineer. You know, that takes them weeks to sort this stuff out. Me, a couple of taps with a forefinger, and we're sorted. Music news.
Thank you, the right, Mike, here we go. Mike magician, Danny Wallace.
Magic Mike, they call me. Not because of that, because my spare time, I'm a stripper.
That's right, yeah. Elsewhere, Matt Helder's mum has confirmed that Arctic Monkeys are recording their new album in California at the moment.
At last.
Yes, I know.
Because she's stopped issuing press releases for a while, didn't she? Matt Helder's mum.
Yeah, she's the main spokesperson.
Do you get most of your information from Matt Helder's mum?
Yes, I do. I do follow her. She's very good on Twitter. Basically, well, there were lots of people saying, are they going to record the follow-up to Suck It in the Sea in the Desert in America? Jill Helders says, yes, they are.
We're getting our music news from people's mums.
She adds, now we start on fifth album titles. So they obviously have brainstorming sessions.
Very much involved.
With their parents.
Very much involved.
Up in Sheffield. We
XFM. My goodness me. You're fools to yourselves, you really are. You really are fools to yourselves. We say it a lot, but when are you going to learn?
They will never learn, will they?
They will never learn, Matt. They're their own worst enemy. It's their own time they're wasting, isn't it? Matt, what they done this time?
You know, teacher Alan in Enfield.
What's he done this time?
After losing two sets of house keys, her indoors cut me one more set saying, now, Alan, if you lose these, you're not having any more. I only went and left them at work on Friday, so I became him outdoors for large portions of the weekend.
Alan.
You know, how many times must she tell you?
Time after time after time. He treats this place like a hotel. Yes. You know, confirmed listener, while he's under her roof, yes, it should be her rules. You know, confirmed listener Fran.
What's he done this time?
Well, he says Muggins here only woke up 3 hours late on Saturday morning, meaning he was only late for kickoff at football, wasn't he? The gaffer was not happy, not in his good books. Oh, Fran, set an alarm.
Oh, Matt. You know the long-suffering other half of Joe from Dartford.
Oh, what's he done this time?
Well, she said there was too much stuff on the bed to move it. Oh. He didn't listen and proceeded to rip the side clean off the bed.
Joe! When are you going to learn?
Just doesn't listen.
It's in the doghouse. You know, Scott in Bristol.
What's he done this time?
Well, he woke up this morning to some very vivid dreams and he rolled over and he inadvertently touched his cat's bottom. And the cat just, I suppose his neck snapped round and just looked at him. Just to say, what on earth are you doing? Gave him a very untrustworthy look, says Scott. So I'm not really in the doghouse, but I am in the cat house.
In the cat house.
Sadly, we've only got doghouse noises. Also, I think cat house means something else. What else?
Okay. Confirmed listener Rachel.
Yeah. Oh, what's she done this time?
You'll never guess what she says.
It's just nothing would surprise me now, Matt.
I'm only in the doghouse again. I only went and drank all of my housemate's orange juice while she was out of the country. And then I forgot to replace it. Well, she came back, didn't she? After a 12-hour flight. Oh. And guess what she wanted?
Oh, let me guess.
Parched she was.
Yeah.
Only the flaming orange juice. I may as well put a bed in the doghouse since I spend so much time there.
Hey, let's get one from confirmed listener Gemma.
You know me.
What, you know this time?
I'm in the doghouse because I ate all the raisins from the box of Alpen. I don't regret it one bit, even if we do have the rest of the cardboardy stuff for the rest of the week.
Yeah, exactly. I despair sometimes. It's like a broken record, isn't it, with these people? Time after time after time. We are... Right now, you're pretty much in the I don't know biz, so let me show you my business. Back. The phrase is back, Matt.
Yes, good to have it back.
It's great to hear it back, isn't it?
Ooh.
Wonderful.
What's happening in the world of edutainment?
Let me present you with this CD-ROM about the Armada. That'll only make sense to six people. So let me put you in the knowbiz, ladies and gents. I've been through the papers. And the girl who had that fling with Harry Styles is a little red-faced. she's been linked to Harley from Rizzle Kicks.
Ooh.
I'll have to ask Jordan about that, won't I, over our next brunch. Wayne Rooney went to a psychic who told him that he would have a long and happy life. And Colleen sort of said, well, yeah, what about me? And the psychic said, no, not you.
Oof.
Which is disconcerting if you believe some lady in a tent. The farmer on whose land Rihanna took her top off while shooting a video last year has finally forgiven her.
You are me.
I'm not.
At last. I seen sense.
So Rihanna, that's great news for her. She can finally get some sleep. I will never condemn her, said the man, who I thought last year condemned her.
Yeah, he definitely did. Because it's been in the papers pretty much every day since that picture of her in a field.
Yeah, exactly. The Star says Simon Cowell has admitted that Kim Kardashian, quote, tickles his pickle.
Come off it.
I will not. Remain on it. Justin Bieber says he'll never get drunk. It's like a sitcom. You just now cut to Justin knocking over bins and throwing chips in a city centre. Possibly Kettering. Dane Bowers is to stand trial for assault. It doesn't say if that's because of his music. I imagine it must be. Best spotted ever. Jimmy Carr talking on his phone on a platform at the train station. How much more vague can you get than that? Didn't say what train station. Didn't say a train station. It says the train station.
That happened to a mate of mine.
Did it? Jimmy Carr talking on his phone
on
a platform.
He's just travelling into work.
Why would you ring the paper?
He's just a guy travelling to work.
Why would you ring the paper? Quickly, get me the number for the Daily Star. And finally, Ronaldo went on Brazilian television to unveil a cartoon mammal. And now you are in the no-bids.
XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. Our guest this morning remains Jim Jefferies. Here he is. We were just talking about your genitalia.
Yeah.
And also your mother's penchant for dolls and the fact that she really wanted you to be a little girl.
She wanted me to be a girl.
You couldn't be a worse girl.
There's pictures of me as a child in dresses and stuff. Like, it's creepy, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you a pretty little boy?
I was a good-looking little boy. Yeah. Well, I didn't remember that. My girlfriend wanted pictures of me as a baby so that she could try... Like, because you've got kids.
Yeah.
Women really want to know what they look like.
Of course.
It's very important to what they look like. When you know when a baby comes... See, I'm not even that excited. The more I read about children, the less excited I'm getting about this. I've always wanted to be a dad, but I went on courses, and they've told me now that my kid has to wear mittens when it's first born in case it claws its own eyes out.
Right.
And it's like, this thing sounds like the most useless... Why do I even want this idiot? Like, if this thing wants to claw its eyes out... Like, every other animal is either just falls out and just walks or is in an egg and wakes up and there's no parents there and goes, all right, well, I better start swimming or flying or something, right? Where this thing is just, it's going to go to the toilet 8 times a day. It wants to claw its eyes out. If you hold it wrong, its neck might break.
Yeah. It's a terrifying world. Matt has entered that world recently. Yeah. He's turned to drink, to be honest. Yeah. You've ended up wandering around Mothercare secreting alcohol. In
takeaway soft drink cups.
Yeah, it's just to cope with your life.
I recommend it. Yeah, but I also had my baby out of wedlock as well. So right on, brother.
If I'd known that, there's no way I would have agreed to let him be on this show at this time.
Well, the way I met my girlfriend was the pilot episode of my sitcom is if anyone's watched my comedy, I had a very long routine about taking a friend with muscular dystrophy to a brothel, which was a true story. Anyway, we did that. Pilot episode. We got DJ Qualls, who's the skinny guy on a road trip.
Right, yeah.
That
guy, he's great.
So we go to, we go cast everybody. I didn't want to cast my girlfriend. I had a friend that I wanted to put in the role, but my girlfriend played the prostitute in the pilot.
Oh, Oh, what a wonderful memory for your child to see you on
the road. I can always look my child in the eye and say, when I met mummy.
And a DVD out soon?
I've recorded a DVD this last tour. I recorded in San Francisco a few months ago, and it should be out in October on the Epix channel in America.
That's great. What a great place to record as well, San Francisco.
I recorded at the same place they launched the iPhone.
Is that right?
Same theater. Oh,
God, the magic is in the air. What do you think of people who call it San Fran?
Did I say San Fran?
No, you said San Francisco, which is the correct way of doing it. Someone in this room refers to it constantly as San Fran, to tell people he's been there.
I would text it San Fran.
Would you?
Yeah.
So text it. I agree with that. It's a good system. Yeah, Dave, your justification?
It's two syllables shorter, so I think
it wouldn't take long to say then, would it?
Yeah, what about Cisco, that company, that Cisco?
Yeah. Or the wonderful rapper.
Would you not even say anything for that company?
It's a good point, it's well made. Jim, thank you so much for coming over. Huge good luck with Legit, I can't wait to see it. When do you think it's going to be on the air?
It's going to be airing first Thursday in January in America, and it'll be available for legal download first Friday in January in London.
Do it illegally, that's what he's saying, not the words of Global Radio, the words of the wonderful Jim Jefferies, everybody.
Thank you.
Man, the Sun are angry this morning. Find Le Rat. You know, about this, the French photographer has been taking the pictures of Kate.
They hate that, pictures of naked royals, don't they? They hate it.
They absolutely
hate it. They've
always hated it.
Yeah.
And, it was different with Harry a month ago.
Oh, yeah.
That was different because those pictures you could find on the internet.
Yeah, you can find them online.
You can find those online, so that was fine to publish.
Yeah, yeah.
But the ones of Kate, of course, completely different story.
This isn't about press freedom.
It's not about press freedom.
It's not about it, no.
Nothing to do with that.
Completely different.
So find Le Rat. Yeah, very angry. Oh, man. Sometimes the papers are a bit like a mad uncle, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are.
Sort of just changing
their
minds.
They just expose themselves. Like, at least wait a few weeks so we've forgotten about the last one.
It is extraordinary. But, you know, you would imagine that the Sun would have gone more for the Kate angle. They're probably very angry.
Yeah.
If they were going, we should have saved the press freedom thing for Kate. Yeah. She's a girl. Fits in more with our sort of worldview.
Yeah, exactly.
Than just a man's
Page
bottom.
Page 3 sorted, isn't it? you think they'd be trying to do good things at the moment, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would, absolutely. Still, press freedom.
Yeah, press freedom.
Press freedom.
That's what it's about.
Dave had a strange dream yesterday, last night, in fact. And ordinarily, I would say, keep it to yourself. I've no interest in people's dreams. But this one, I think, is going to pique my interest.
It's an odd one, Danny.
Yeah.
It was about, it involved my dad's rarely in my dreams, but my dad was in my dream last night.
Why does your dad rarely make it into your dreams?
I don't know, that's another thing I didn't actually question.
You've promoted him to the netherworlds of your subconscious.
My mum's in there quite a lot.
Does he not feel bad? He's like, why do you have a dream of me?
Well, he doesn't know that.
Do you have a dream of me?
No, not recently, I'm afraid.
Ooh. So it looks like he's lying, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No.
Why are me and your dad not? Are you threatened by us?
by strong
male characters in your life? You'll only dream of your mum. Go on.
And my girlfriend. They're the two mainstays. But my dad rarely makes it in.
Weird.
But last night, the police came round because
in your dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to be clear.
They were investigating the disappearance of Peter Barlow and Leanne Battersby from Coronation Street. And they had my dad down.
Even his dreams are northern.
That is the most northern dream you can have.
I know.
You've got. Have they disappeared in the television programme?
I honestly don't watch Coronation Street, so I don't know. But it's weird that the one time my dad's in my dream and he's...
How do you know who these people are, these Battersbys?
Well, I know the names of them.
Do you know what they look like?
That's just in my upbringing.
And what's your dad got to do with their disappearance?
It
seems
rather
sinister. The first time he rocks up, it's to do with the police investigation.
I know, I don't think he's got anything
to say.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Keep your dad out your dreams. Very sinister character. Dave Masterman, you're a young man, you're a young producer, and you're going places, not just here in the radio industry, but I would argue in life. Your reaction to that, first of all?
Well, I like to think so, Danny. I like to try new ideas out and move things forward.
There's one idea in particular that you are very keen on moving forward. It is an idea that we've covered in great depth here on the XFM Breakfast Show. Mm. It's to do with the twin worlds of bread, bakeries, and soups, of course. Don't get too deep into it. The listeners are more than familiar with it. I know you're staying in Friday night to work on recipes.
Yeah.
I bring you, and this is deeply exciting, the pitch doctor himself, Paul Barros is here.
Wow.
Here he is.
Good morning.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Paul, are you ready for, well, what may unfold?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be. I mean, I have sat through probably tens of thousands of pitches.
Tens of thousands?
Yes, I get called into big organisations to help them with pitches, so I've seen a lot.
Are you ready to hear Dave Masterman's business pitch?
I'm completely ready.
Let's do this.
Hi, Paul. My name's Dan. Dave.
Don't be nervous.
Sorry, just give me 1 minute.
Yeah.
Sorry. It went well in rehearsals.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a man. Yeah,
okay.
A nervy start from the young northerner, but how will his idea go down?
Hi, Paul. My name's Dave, and I'm the sole inventor, manufacturer, and distributor of...
Do you enjoy soup? Do you like bread? Do you hate washing up? Then you'll love... You eat your bowl with it.
Yes.
Everyone in London...
It's what London's been missing out on.
...is talking about...
Finally, a dish I can believe in. Genius.
You eat your bowl with it. The future of cuisine has arrived.
I couldn't believe my eyes.
And it's edible. You eat your bowl with it. Get ready for a super new eatery. Coming soon.
This was powerful.
You eat your bowl with it, Paul. A variety of soup dishes to be eaten out of a bowl made entirely of bread. As you can see, this is an idea that will take London's bread and soup market by storm. A lot of people often say to me, Paul, Dave, why is it that I'm still hungry after soup? My response has always been because possibly you've not eaten enough bread. At which point, You Eat Your Bowl With It was born. I'm offering a 5% share in the business with a £200 investment from yourself. I'll also give a 10% discount on any meal you may wish to purchase from my store in Broadway Market. Alcohol is not included. ID may be required. Thanks a lot for your time.
A steady pitch from Dave, but how will it go down with the pitch doctor?
Well, the word nerves came into it quite early, didn't it? Really? Do you know that there are actually two types of people in this world? There are those who get nervous, and there are liars. So, if you were in front of a dragon, I suspect he would have forgiven you those nerves. As for the idea, Dave...
Right, here we go.
Can I just get a bit of background about you?
Don't forget that documentary you're in.
Yes, well, a few years ago, I was in Booze Britain Binge Nation 2, which was following me around, maybe drinking one too many bad glasses of wine.
Nervy times for young David and his edible bowl of soup.
Are you willing to drink excess amounts of soup in order to promote this?
Yes, I am.
There were some good points to it. I'm trying to remember them.
The advert, the audio.
Oh, the audio. Yes, you sort of made Levi Roots look like Mozart, didn't you? It was definitely an advert.
It was an advert.
Yeah.
Have you seen any other products that are similar on the market?
Well, lots of them.
Yeah, there have been a few attempts around the world, quite successful attempts as well.
Just
not necessarily in London. San Francisco, I think, was my main inspiration.
So you haven't researched it at all, Dave, is what you're saying. You haven't been
really
out there.
Into this.
I have. I've been to San Francisco.
Certainly a setback for David, but will he be able to turn things around?
Did you think about, because you've obviously dressed for radio here this morning. Did you think about what you were going to wear? Because, you know, the first impressions.
A little
was
pair
what,
of pants.
Hoxton chic.
A little pair of pants, a bow tie and a bare chest.
So you're actually limiting your market already, aren't you?
Well, the pitch doctor seems wary, but will the edible soup idea hold any soup under further scrutiny?
I mean, also, what are the legal implications, do you think, Paul, of handing people quite a porous item and then filling it with piping hot liquid?
There was a well-known hamburger chain who got sued for millions for somebody spilling coffee on their lap.
Right.
So we better talk to the lawyers very early as well.
I would say so. What an awful pitch. Just realised. I thought it was quite good. I'm just slowly realising it was absolutely dreadful, Dave.
Cheers, Paul.
Yes. Paul Barros, everybody. The Pitch Doctor, author of The Pocket Pitching Bible, The Pitch Bible. He's sat through tens of thousands and this one. Paul, everyone! We are... It's Angry Nerds. You want to get IT off your chest. For example, Matt, what are you angry and nerdy about this morning?
Managers of Co-op Radio.
Oh.
Please, guys, can we watch the use of your tagline by presenters who do not have a Scottish accent in your stores? It really doesn't work unless you've got that guy that sounds like John Hannah saying, we're good with food. Unless you're saying good with food, it doesn't really work south of the border.
Yeah. Hey, HP Office A4 multifunctional paper. Yes, this paper is excellent for impressive business or personal correspondence. Yes, it is first class for technical illustrations. But what's with the out-of-box colour bleed? Cyan and magenta should remain within print parameters at all times. Don't make me go back to HP Colour Laser. I'm trying to support your new directions. I encourage you. Just watch the colour bleed, HP. For goodness sakes. Should have people on this. Why are you relying on me?
We are XFM.
Work experience Steve walked in a little while ago. And said something to me in a very sort of conspiratorial way. You guys didn't hear.
No.
But I was like, we have to talk about this. So you were wandering around Essex yesterday, just wandering blank-eyed, mindlessly around Essex yesterday.
Yeah.
And what did you see with your little eyes?
Well, I'm pretty sure this is weird.
Yeah.
I was walking through Lake Meadows, which is Bidaricky's local park.
And why were you just walking through Lake Meadows?
Because I have to go through Lake Meadows on
is
my way.
Is your voice breaking?
I'm just so
worked
up.
We just hit puberty this morning. You were walking through Lake Meadows.
Yeah, and because that's how I get home from work.
Yeah.
And on the little, I suppose, river bank.
Right.
There was a tiny little turtle.
A turtle? Like, a tiny turtle, a wild turtle.
This isn't part of English wildlife, is it, a turtle? I've never seen
hedgehogs,
it.
Badgers and foxes.
It's about a foot long.
And a foot long?
Yeah, it wasn't like one of those tiny little ones that you have as pets.
This was a foot long.
It was a turtle. A 12-inch turtle?
Yeah.
Well, about... the listeners can't see, but about that big.
Right, he's making a gesture that looks about a foot. Yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't a rock?
No. Yeah. It was moving its head, and I went to take a picture.
Whoa. Did you take a picture?
And then it scurried into the water.
Whoa. Come on, they're notoriously slow. They're notoriously slow.
Not in the water.
If there's one thing you know about tortoises and turtles, it's they're very slow.
What were you doing?
Setting up a tripod? Have you got one of those ancient sort of 1800s cameras with a big puff of smoke?
Box brownie.
What's going on with you? You can't outrun a turtle.
The camera on my phone isn't very good, so I've got to, like, get in close, and I think I spooked it, and it...
You've got to get in close with every picture you take.
Pretty much. But
even with friends?
Yeah, like...
You've got to hold it right up to their face?
Yeah, literally, it's got to be, like, at their eyes, basically.
But how long does that take, just to hold it a bit closer to a turtle?
Enough time, because there was a little railing in the way.
Right.
If you know Lake Meadows, you'll know. You know the bit I'm talking about.
Right, very specific broadcasting. Yeah.
But I ran home to tell Geraldine, my mother, about it, because I was, you know, excited.
Of course.
And then she went, Stephen, is this not the same situation as the time you thought you saw stingrays underneath Clacton Pier?
And was it?
No, I was like six then.
Wow, Geraldine knows how to hit you where it hurts. I'm worried, though, that this could turn into another Essex lion. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That turned out to be a cat.
Yeah. Exactly.
But by the end of tonight, it's going to be a dragon. It's going to be the Essex dragon. Yeah, right. The Loch Ness Monster is in where was it? Lake Meadows?
It was definitely there. I definitely saw it.
So you saw a stingray. You saw it. Someone's just texted in. I live in Billericay, and I've seen it too.
Oh, my God.
They even got the Essex twang. They didn't say, I saw it too.
seen it too.
Oh, wow.
You're amongst friends here, Steve.
I think...
What can we do about the Essex turtle?
I think people need to keep an eye out for it.
Keep an eye out for the Essex turtle, everybody. If you've seen the Essex turtle, do please get in touch.
Careful, though, he's very quick.
He's quick.
Did you imagine you were on some kind of nature documentary at that point?
I imagined I was a bit like Attenborough, and I was like, this is the Essex turtle.
People do that, you know. People do think, you know, yesterday Dave was mentioning, I think it was off air, wasn't it? When you were, can we mention the brand now? Well, it's Weetabix. We're having some Weetabix.
Yeah.
And you said what, Dave?
When I was a kid, I used to pretend and this was the only meal that I did it with, the only food, I used to pretend that I was on a cookery program.
Yes.
And that I was informing the viewers as to how to make bowl of Weetabix.
So you put the Weetabix in the bowl, and then what are you saying?
So first of all, you open the wrapper, you put three Weetabix into the bowl. Now pour the milk, not quite to the brim of the bowl, but just so you're covering all three Weetabix.
Wow, and this would all be your internal monologue?
No, but I'd be saying it out loud in my kitchen on my own.
Well, then it's a bit odd.
Yeah.
People do that, don't they? They do sometimes pretend they're on TV. When it happens to me, I'm in a supermarket and I've got a trolley and I'm weaving in and out of foot traffic.
Yeah.
And in my head, there's a commentator going, Amazing move there for Wallace. Wallace is moving past.
Yeah, that's good.
An unprecedented move past the old lady. And I set myself a little target, which is to get to the lamppost before, say, another man, another random man with a trolley. I do that. Do you do that?
Oh, well, I do. I do now when I'm cycling. I imagine like I'm on a head cam. You know, those close-up headphones where it's really jerky.
Yeah.
And like the cyclists do it. I imagine I'm on one of them.
Really?
It really adds to the excitement.
You're an oddball.
We are XFM.
So, Dave, not an easy start there.
No, not an easy start. I forgot my name at first, which I don't think helped. But I do feel that after the initial nerves, I really picked myself up and moved on with a very strong pitch.
And how are you feeling about the business after going into the pitch doctor's den?
Well, yeah, I definitely saw a few snags that Paul brought up, as in the millions of pounds that I could be sued for if I did spill the hot soup on my lap, or one of my customers did, so that's not great. Also, I do seem to be narrowing my market down just to Hoxton Chic, which he wasn't too keen on either.
And why did you choose that outfit?
Well, as I pointed out in the pitch, I was going for Hoxton Chic, and I thought the bare chest with the little pants and the bow tie would have really appealed to Paul's fashionable side. I don't think it quite went down as well as I would have hoped, but I do feel the future's bright, the future's bred.
And where now for hot liquid in the huge bap?
Straight to Broadway Market for me, Matt. This hasn't deterred me in the slightest. I didn't get the £200 investment or the 5% stake that I was hoping for from Paul, but I still feel there's potential in this edible idea.
Well, thank you. You f***ing idiot.
Thanks, man.
XFM. Well, Boris Johnson's more popular than David Cameron when it comes to underwear. Someone's done some kind of survey or something. Sales of pants with Boris Johnson's face on them have sold far more than pants with David Cameron's face on. It's kind of a compliment and an insult all at once, isn't it? A compliment through buying and an insult through wearing, I would argue.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's true. Not sure which is best.
I'm not sure which is best. I'd rather... I think I'm with Cameron on this one. Cameron and his cronies. Spy detectors, 1 in 3 Brits are using Twitter and Facebook to spy on their partners. 60% of those who do snoop online discover that they've been lied to. Sites like Facebook and Twitter are also being used by bosses to catch out workers who throw a sickie. I imagine someone like you, Matt, you've got to be so careful. Amount of scams you've got on.
People that would phone in sick, yeah, you would have to, like, follow through on it. If you are going to phone in sick these days, you've got to do a day of status updates saying how ill you are.
Exactly.
You can't just...
How many accounts do you have? Do you have separate accounts? I imagine you've got to keep your lives quite separate.
No,
you've got a scam going on every hour of the day for something.
Yeah, you know, hashtag spom gets you out of a lot of problems like that.
We are... XFM.
Grace, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Grace. What's going on?
I'm kind of in school, but just... You're
kind of in school? What does that mean? You're playing truant?
I'm outside where I'm supposed to be.
Grace, what is wrong with you?
I'm sure I'll be fine.
It's your own time you're wasting, Grace. Hey, would you like to play Quiz Face?
I would, very much.
Good. You should know the rules by now, Grace, so let's play.
Quiz away.
That's right, Grace. It's Quiz Away.
Okay.
And it's Back Away, isn't it? But don't back away from Quiz Away. Instead, let's play away, and let's very much make Quiz Face Quiz Grace. Now, as you'll remember, if you've got your listener pad out, we played this in December 2011, didn't we? There was a man in the shop doorway. We could barely hear him. He took on the M3, I believe. But he overshot Fleet Services, didn't he, Grace? Before that, back in August of last year, it was Ben from Hackney. We had to put him on hold for health and safety reasons after he played his Joker. You correctly identify that the M3 is dual 3 lanes as far as Junction 8, then dual 2 lanes until Junction 9 at Winchester, Grace. So if you're ready, let's spin the catter wheel. Just spun that, see where it lands this morning. Could be the M3 again, could be the M4, who knows? What's it going to be? Oh, you got
the
lucky.
The
M6, the backbone of Britain, Grace, incorporating the Preston bypass, taking you right through the industrial north of Britain. Was that a seagull in the background there? What was that? I'll just move on. Now, Grace, you'll know it's part of the east-west route between the Midlands and the east coastal ports, but what you won't know, interestingly, it was indeed One of the first... Someone's buzzed in. Sorry. It's current champion Ben in Hackney. He's been on the line since last we played. Ben?
Hello, Danny.
Take it, you want to play your joker, do you?
Yes. You didn't mention that the M6 runs from junction 19 of the M1 at the Catthorpe interchange near Rugby.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry about that. It's a very strong interchange. Yes, Ben, do you want the points, or do you wish to embark on a hunt for facts? Careful now, then. Please, hunt us a fact.
Well, the Catthorpe interchange currently handles 100,000 vehicles a day. It's overloaded and has a poor safety record.
Right. Grace, do you accept that as a fact?
I do,
okay,
yes.
Good. You got it. Well done, Ben. Stay on the line. We'll take your details. Do not hang up or your call will be deemed invalid. So, Grace, here's what we're going to do. There are 20 service stations on the M6, aren't there? We'll be moving solely between Knutsford and Samlesbury.
Okay.
Now, Grace. Grace, we're going to start at Plumley, entering the M6 just past Goose Street. Now, you need to buy a Topic and or a Lilt from either Lim Services.
That's a moto just after Junction 20.
Or from Samlesbury.
The amusingly named Tickle Trout. That's at Junction 31.
Now, you need to get as close as you can to either Lim or Samlesbury by shouting Mirror Indicate Maneuver. If you overshoot Lim, Grace, you must not overshoot the Tickle Trout. If you overshoot the Tickle Trout, you're screwed. The next services is not. It's not until, I think, Carnforth.
Junction 35.
So, Grace, let's play. Okay, you're entering the M6.
Bradwell.
You're past Bradwell.
Congleton.
Congleton's just on your right.
Bechton.
But nice place, not for everyone.
Penkridge.
Penkridge.
Lim Services.
Oh, you've overshot Lim. Don't overshoot Samlesbury.
Nicky Rednall.
Holding her nose.
Nicky End.
Yeah.
Charnock Richard.
Once met a man from Charnock Richard.
Samlesbury Tickle Trout.
You've overshot both Lim Services and Samlesbury Tickle Trout. You're going to have to turn off at Carnforth. But there is one last thing you can do, Grace. Do we still have Ben from Hackney on the line? Ben, to release yourself from Quizface and return to your wife and child, what's the question?
Let me go home.
Come on, what's the question?
XFM.
Yay! Grace! Ah, oh, you pulled that back. You pulled that back.
Brilliant.
For a second there, I thought you didn't know what was going on, but you totally did the whole time. You ruled that.
I was just playing it, you know.
Yeah.
We are XFM.
I mentioned it before, but strange the influx of first-time listeners, first-time texters. And some of them are mentioning sports, and I'm not really used to that. And I do a showbizzling, don't I? About 6:30 every morning. And thinking maybe to welcome people and maybe to just break them in gently should do reflect the sport, I suppose. So I've looked at the back of the papers. There's all sorts of news about sports.
I never normally
get that far. Yeah. So we'll just run through a few of these quickly for you. I'll give you my opinion on them and maybe we'll all learn something. Well, Matt, I see that Marge has ensured Finn is no Butterfingers.
What? I don't know what that means.
Right, good. Well, I see that Pearson's on edge, isn't he? Or she.
Yeah.
As the Axe Month looms. What is the Axe Month?
I don't know.
What paper are you reading?
This is a sport. Sport paper.
Oh.
The sport things. Wolves, they scored 2, didn't they? But Leicester only got 1. Barnsley, though, just to reflect the other side, they scored 1, and so did Blackpool. And they were actually playing against one another on, I imagine, Saturday.
Yes, it
so
was.
This is old news, isn't it? This is Monday now.
Yeah.
Why does football news take so long to seep through? Is it because it's at the back of the paper somehow, so it's not as important?
A bit of a delay.
somehow delay. Rio raves over Cox's cracker. Just give me your opinion on that.
Yeah, quite rightly so. What do you make of the handshakes? A lot of talk about handshakes, pre-match handshakes. Should they still have them, Danny? What do you think?
Well, exactly. Simon Cox's wonder goal, that sparked a Forest fight back, didn't it?
Yeah, Simon Cox, we didn't think he would play for Nottingham Forest at the weekend because he'd injured his foot, scored a cracker.
You do need feet.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You do that, that's one of the, you need two. Tell me more about AXMA. Sounds very exciting. Is it like a special season of AXMONTH?
It sounds like a feature Ian Canfield would do on his rock show.
Do they all go to boot camp where they face AXMONTH?
Yeah, they must.
Because imagine there is a boot camp, isn't there? With the, you know, they wear
football boot camp. Yeah, yeah.
Last one. Bristol City 3, Blackburn 5. More sport tomorrow. We are... Well, in terms of turtles in Essex, the first thing, we'll just deal with this. Adam from Billericay says, it's a terrapin. Someone else says, it's a terrapin. Someone else says, I also saw a turtle in Essex. I called the wildlife people. They said, well, it happens. Ian Perry saw him, this terrapin, sunning himself on a log. Two kids were trying to catch him until the park keeper told them to stop. There's a whole colony of turtles living in a pond near me in East Barnet. They've been there for years. What's going on with the turtles? Why's never mentioned the turtles before? Anyway, that's not what we're talking about this morning. What we're talking about, even though now, just by mentioning that, I reckon dozens more people will be composing texts about turtles they've seen. I asked you, when do you pretend you've been on telly, or when do you pretend you are on telly? When do you think there are cameras filming, I suppose, mundane activities? You know, it's a way of livening them up, isn't it? Matt, when do some of our listeners pretend they're on telly?
Bryony in Maidenhead pretends she's on telly when she's cleaning her teeth.
Right.
I think it makes very interesting telly, as I also have a fixed but cunningly hidden retainer as a treat for my viewers.
Oh, well, that's good. Confirmed listener Rachel says, well, on the walk between the bus stop and work in the morning, I like to imagine that I'm a spy. I've been dropped off by my team with a mission of destroying the enemy, but they're onto me. Even in my imaginings, I'm not that good, she says. So I have to evade them through the streets of London. It's helpful when I'm late because I walk super quickly, but it can't be done when I have coffee due to the danger of spillages. Yeah, spies is a popular one, though.
Whenever I play video games, I always talk about it as if I'm doing a review, talking about gameplay, controls, music, etc. Then giving my opinion on the game, says Ben from Bracknell, which is a good nice one.
Ian from Tottenham says, this isn't quite TV related, but when I have to play the guitar in singing assembly, I like to pretend it's an intimate solo gig in front of 250 people, even though I am simply playing to a hall full of children. That's nice. Matthew?
I used to pretend I was the head from Art Attack when doing art as a child,
right,
says Steve in Canterbury.
Yeah.
Also, Sharon used to do the weather with the bathwater and bubbles as it drained away.
What, pretending the clouds and stuff?
I suppose so.
Maybe,
yeah,
you're rearranging them. Helen in Bognor Regis, this is amazing. Danny, when I shred paper at work, I pretend I'm in an embassy under attack, so I have to shred really fast before they send in a helicopter to rescue us. That's remarkably specific. But it does liven up shredding, I reckon. Mickey in Reading says, whilst walking to work with my iPod on, sometimes I imagine my favourite songs are actually the theme tune to my own programme, and I'm being filmed for the opening sequence. I think everyone does that in a weird way. Smiling and sometimes waving to people as I walk. Yes, strangers. It's a little bit odd, says Nikki in Reading. I think it's normal, weirdly normal. What else?
Lots of cookery ones. Joe in Dalston does the cookery one in the kitchen. Also, my boyfriend Charlie, says Brooke in Chiswick, and I get highly involved in our Jamie Oliver style cookery shows and even request different camera angles to get the whole picture of what's going on.
Is that right?
We even went as far as... Oh, it's gone from my screen.
Oh, never mind. Well, I've got one here. It went as far as disappearing. Finally from this, someone just says, when I'm on the train and an emotional song comes on my iPod, I always gaze out of the window pensively, as if I'm in some kind of movie montage. I think everyone does that, exactly.
God.
And finally, I mentioned this would happen, many more turtle updates. Dan in Barking, not seen the turtle, but that's where I lost my flat cap. It could have been that. Billy, it was most likely a terrapin you saw. People end up releasing them into the wild when they don't want them anymore.
Yeah.
We saw one in the Thames at Kingston while kayaking with the scouts, although he wasn't as speedy as your one. An 11-year-old managed to pick it up. Man, even an 11-year-old outrunning work experience, Steve. Sure it wasn't a tortoise somewhere else, says, and an update on the turtle watch. A 12-inch turtle has been spotted in the River Chelmer in Chelmsford, according to confirmed listener Phil. Thank you, not only for your telly things, but for your turtle updates. I feel we've all learned something, London.
XFM. We are XFM.
quiz face.
I'm confirmed, Lister Grace. And I just overshot the tickle trout at Downsbury. I feel ever such a nit. I should have got up at Charnock Richard. All my mates are going to love this. They'll think I'm such a dick. Thank you, Quizface. Thanks, Danny Wallace.
We are
XFM.
Let's get the good news in the studio. Matt Dyson, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. Those zany characters at London Zoo.
You don't have to be bonkers to work there, but it does help.
Yeah. They've called it ZSL to make it sound cooler. They've won me back round, actually, their ridiculous publicity stunt earlier in the year about turning the Gherkin building into a giant penguin. Yeah. They only got Bill Oddie in yesterday to interpret the chirps and calls of tropical birds live on Twitter.
Oh, wow. Some birds have several different sounds that they will make, and some of the sounds will mean I'm frightened, some of the sounds will mean I'm enamoured by the female over there, some of the sounds will mean we're getting together now, and so on and so forth.
It sounds like he's talking to a girl on the first date about what to expect from sort of the noises he's going to make. Play again, imagine he's on a first date.
Some birds have several
just
different
to warn you,
sounds
this
that
is what's
will make.
Happen
some
the
of
meal.
The sounds will mean I'm frightened. Some of the sounds will mean I'm enamoured by the female over there. Some of the sounds will mean we're getting together now, and so on and so forth.
And they're like, I see. Thank you very
much. Don't be freaked out. So it's good goodies news there. Really.
That's goody news. Good news, guys. Despite initial concerns that work experience Steve had finally had the breakdown we've all said was on the cards since day one, and despite his claim that the complete lack of evidence for seeing a wild turtle in an Essex park was due to its speed, you rallied to his side, confirming the existence of rogue terrapins in Billericay. Not just that, but after 16 years of being mocked by his evil mother, Geraldine, for claiming to have seen stingray under Clacton Pier, it appears he may have been correct after all. Imagine who he could have been had he not been so mercilessly mocked throughout those difficult teenage years and well into his year here at XFM. Well, good news. Steve Ferdinando, your life starts now.
Oh, right.
Because there's faith in you.
Oh, right.
the stingrays could have been to do with skate and chips, and they're caught off the Essex coast. It's the wing of a stingray. So presumably you saw what you saw that day, and your mother is wrong. What were you going to say to your mum right now if she's listening?
Screw you, Mum.
Wow. It's 8:14, and Steve just essentially said words you can't say on the radio. Aimed at his mother. You give a kid a chance, don't you? You give a kid a chance. You say, what do you want to say?
Backfired.
He says three words.
Get out, Steve. Get out.
XFM.
Cinemas are using volunteer ninjas to silence rude moviegoers.
Where?
Cinema ninjas. Where, you ask?
Yeah.
What's the closest cinema to us? Just
no
up there.
Way.
The Prince Charles Cinema.
Really? Yeah,
on Leicester Square.
Oh, brilliant.
They're dressing people in those morph suits. You know, those really tight morph suits. The black morph suits so that they can all kind of blend in. And then they pounce if you're rustling your sweets too much or you're whispering sweet nothings to your loved one.
Oh, that sounds great.
When was the last time you whispered sweet nothings to someone? What are sweet nothings? What do you say?
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever whispered a sweet nothing in my life. Anyway, this is a great new invention, the cinema ninjas. Singers, I call them.
They take your phone off you if you're texting.
But they're very fast. Boom. They come down from the ceiling.
You don't even see them.
No. They strike like well, like ninjas. Yeah. And so that's a new invention. Then there's the world's most expensive vacuum cleaner. People are talking about flying hovercraft. This 24-carat gold-plated vacuum cleaner, £800,000 it'll cost you, but you do get free delivery, which is nice. And I was thinking about this and thinking about Dave's invention, or he thinks it's his invention, of the soup in a bowl. You got to eat a roll with it.
You eat your bowl with it,
that's
Danny.
You know what it's
called.
I don't. And it got me thinking about these two-in-ones and why there aren't more two-in-one inventions these days.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed like for a while we were just blending products into each other to save time. Do you have any two-in-ones like Dave's?
I was thinking the other day, a card shop with a post box inside the card shop.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Wow.
And a little pen station, like a lottery thing where you write out the card in there.
Yeah, you got to.
I think some of them exist already. Otherwise, like a piece of fried chicken with lemony fresh wipes cooked inside the meat.
lemony fresh wipes.
You know, like the lemony fresh wipes you get at some chicken places. They're in a little sachet. They're inside. So you.
It sounds like a court case.
And when you finished eating it, you go, "Oh, finished eating it. Oh, what's this? A lemony fresh wipe? Perfectly right there in front of you.
Just perfectly cooked.
So you can just open it up and
a hot
wipe your hands.
A hot lemon wipe.
Yeah,
a hot chickeny lemon wipe.
Warms it up as well.
You're insane. You went. You overstretched yourself there. I'll be honest. You should have stopped with the all-in-one charge shop.
You watch.
I was. I had a meeting yesterday and I had a bit of time to kill, so I went to a little cafe and I ordered a cup of tea and two slices of toast. I'm there and it's all kind of, oh, I've got the little pot of jam and I had my little butter that they're hidden under the toast, I think to warm it up. And I was like, this is taking too long. What should you do? You get a tube of BAM.
BAM!
Yes. BAM and the toast is done, right?
Oh.
Little tube of jam and butter.
Oh.
Crumpets?
Ooh.
BAM.
BAM!
This is BAM. Muffins? BAM the...
BAM!
The goodness out of those bad boys. This is the all-new time-saving all-in-one butter and condiment somehow toast paste. It's BAM.
Yes.
BAM!
BAM and the toast is done. That's my two-in-one.
It's got a slogan already. Yeah.
Thank you.
We are.
XFM.
It's always exciting, right? I get in the morning, and some mornings Dave says to me, we've got a guest who today, right? The mystery guest element to the important broadcast. And this is where I don't know who it's going to be. And me and Matt have got 60 seconds to guess who it's going to be. They're on the line. Are they on the line now?
Yeah, they are.
They're on the line now. So let's play Guess Who. Guess Who. That's a very vibrant one this morning. Usually we do that in quite a gentle way. Speaks volumes, we're excited. So, 60 seconds. It's someone we talked about in some way. It could be a story. It could be a scientific survey. We just don't know. So, if they're on the line, let's start the 60-second countdown. Caller, are you there?
I am.
It's a call. It's a lady, a girl caller. Are you in the news at the moment, lady caller?
I think I am, yes.
You're in the news right now. Is it a scientific survey?
No, not scientific at all.
It's not scientific. Are you in London?
Nope.
Are you in the north?
Oh, yes.
Oh, in fact.
I think I know who it is.
You think you know who it is?
Yeah, because there's a sort of Yorkshire twang.
Are you in Yorkshire?
I am in Yorkshire.
You're in York- how do you know who it is?
Do you run a coffee shop in Sheffield?
I might do.
What are you talking about? Was I here for
son,
this?
Is your son the drummer in the Arctic Monkeys?
Oh!
Oh, that was too quick.
Ah! Yeah! Wow! How the heck did you do that?
What I was talking about just yesterday.
That's, yes, of course, in the
Jill Helders.
Are you Jill Helders?
Wow. I am that person.
It's Mrs. Helders, everybody. Now, remind me, Matt, this was to do with Mrs. Helders tweets, doesn't she?
Yeah,
and you
she
picked
does.
Up a news exclusive, you thought. And I mocked you for going to Rockstar's parents to get your music news.
Yes, you did, didn't you? Yeah.
Mrs. Helders, what a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed for joining us today.
Well,
and I've been handed a sheet of some of your other tweets. I don't know that Matt can use any of these in his news. You're a big fan of CSI Miami, of course.
Yeah.
You enjoy the television program Pointless.
Oh, I do love it.
You do.
Good. My hero.
You recently saw a monkey accompanied by a dozen human bananas on the streets of Bristol.
Yes, I do.
You never knew that David Walliams was so good at tennis until you saw him playing tennis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is great. We're getting insight.
I'm following Jill. I started following Jill yesterday, and I've not looked back since. It's entertaining stuff.
No, not at all. So how are you? How are you, first of all, Mrs. Helders?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm getting ready to go on holiday tomorrow.
Where are you going?
Well, I'm going to see my beautiful granddaughter, whose birthday is today, actually. She's two today.
Oh.
Matthew's niece.
Matthew's niece.
She lives in the Caribbean, so I've got to go there.
Oh, very glamorous. It's all right for you. What's Matthew like as an uncle?
He's a brilliant uncle. I think he's buying a bicycle for her birthday.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
He's a bit flush now, isn't he? Do you notice how we're both calling him Matthew?
Matthew, yeah.
It's a little bit odd. Matt, anything you would like to know?
Well, you revealed the details about the Arctic Monkeys album being recorded in a desert in California.
No, that's not what I did at all.
Oh, Matt! What, set the record straight, Mrs. Helders.
What I said was that the boys are in the desert. That's all I've
got. Yeah. Just in the desert.
Just in the desert.
I've been backpacking, riding the motorbike.
Ah, Mrs. Helders, you're manipulating the media and I'm going to make you stop.
Please don't call me Mrs.
Helders. Hey, you run a shop in Sheffield called Truly Scrumptious. Tell us why Truly Scrumptious is the finest coffee shop in the Sheffield area.
Yes, it is, actually. I have had the Italians say it's the best latte in Sheffield.
Oh, hello. The Italians took a vote.
Real life Italian person.
Really?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, we are happy to get behind Truly Scrumptious in the Sheffield area. Well, have a great holiday. Say hello to Matthew and his niece and all the rest of it. Mrs. Helders, everybody.
Yes.
Jill Helders. And you can follow her on Twitter. What's her handle there?
I can't remember.
For more exclusives that aren't really exclusives because she'll then deny them on air. That was great. What a great guest.
At Truly Jill.
At Truly Jill, everybody. Jill with a J. XFM. So, 4 hours of very important broadcasting, or VIB, as I've decided to call it now, Matthew. For me, it's a load of keywords.
Yes.
For you, it's a load of names.
It's just names. I'm focusing on names.
You hit me with names, I'll hit you with keywords. I will. Turtles.
Bill Oddie.
Stingrays.
Posh Lindy.
Matt Helder's mum.
Charnock Richard.
Fact Hunting.
Geraldine Ferdinando.
Quiz Grace.
Phaser.
Crapton Pia.
Helen in Bognor Regis.
Steve Brosnan.
Talisa.
Phaser Laser.
A striker called Bullet.
And Karl Lagerfeld's Cat Diary.
XFM.
So that was podcast 61 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. I should just take a moment to apologise for the intro to this podcast, which was scrappy at best. I can't take all the blame. I did throw to this guy.
Yes.
He's done it again.
Yeah. I was thinking you could rescue this, Danny, because you know you're always going to those rap battles.
Yeah, yeah. There's another one at 3.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe you could just like see us out of this podcast with a freestyle hip-hop lyric.
Yeah, session. Yeah.
Okay, I'll be popped.
Well, it's a battle. It's not a one man. It's not just, you can't do it on your
Steve
own.
Steve will start you off.
Go on.
Okay. This is XFM. You know what I say. And it's about time that Danny Wallace pay.
See you next week. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.